Welcome back to Administrative Static, and Janine and I are joined by Greg Dolan, who's lead counsel on our Judge Newman matters. And one of those, the government is at it again. It is the government because it's the Justice Department, so I think I'm accurate. And they are trying to get the rest of the case dismissed that's in district court. What are claims in district court right now that they're trying to get dismissed, Greg?
So there, we initially filed a complaint. We had, I believe, 11 claims. Some of them were dismissed because Judge Cooper concluded that these are as applied challenges, and he's bound by DC Circuit precedent that those are not.
No jurisdiction.
No jurisdiction over that. One claim he dismissed on the merits, and so four are left. And those are essentially, there are four claims, but it can be broken into two categories. One, a set of claims is about the search that Chief Judge Moore and her colleagues are requiring of Judge Newman, meaning her personal effects, such as her medical records and her medical exam, is unconstitutional because there was no warrant and no probable cause. And the second set of claims is that this entire proceeding is so arbitrary, there's no set criteria as to what triggers it. There's no such criteria as to what terminates it. There's no such criteria of how disabled you must be to no longer be able to function as a judge. It's all in the eye of the beholder.
And let me boil that down a little bit. What we're saying and what seemed – and by the way, we had a conference yesterday on the 10th anniversary of Professor – Hamburger's book, is Administrative Law Lawful? And Judge Newman was there, and she was as sharp and spry as ever. So the whole thing, it gets more ridiculous every time I see her. But the fact of the matter is that they haven't laid out the markers. The Federal Circuit is not saying, oh, and if you pass this, then we'll let you back on the bench.
Correct.
Right? There's no objective criteria they've laid out.
And they had no objective criteria to start the investigation.
Right.
If you recall, the initial alleged that Judge Newman had a heart attack, and then they said, well, we didn't really mean a heart attack. You know, we're just lawyers. We don't know their technical terms, which is weird for a court that does patent law. But it just goes to show that they themselves don't know what's enough to even raise concerns, much less to say that, look, this judge should no longer be on the bench at all.
Right. And I guess one of the things that's gone on here is that they've suspended her till September. That was a year, right?
Yes.
So, and then something will happen in September. It's not like they say, oh, and then it's up and she's back on the bench.
It's not clear. They said it's subject to renewal. They didn't necessarily commit to renewing it, although I fully expect them to do so. But I think one of the reasons they said it, they are doing it in 1 year increments is because there is a footnote in a case called McBride in DC Circuit where a Judge McBride he was not suspended from all cases. He was, I think he had some personal run-ins with some attorneys, and the Fifth Circuit said, you know, you shouldn't handle some cases because clearly there's some antagonism going on. And they also
he had an anger management problem.
Apparently. Again, I don't, you know.
Right. That was the allegation anyway.
Right.
I don't know Judge McBride. Right. Yeah, I have no dog in that hunt.
He passed away, so, you know, I'm not going to speak ill of him, especially since I don't know him.
Yeah.
But the point is there, first of all, he was not even completely suspended. But, he still challenged it. And the D.C. Circuit, where he challenged it, dropped a footnote in his opinion saying, look, we're not dealing with a long-term suspension that would be tantamount to impeachment. So I think the Federal Circuit is trying to get around it by saying, oh, no, it's only a year. Of course, it could be another year after that and another year after that until either Judge Newman complies or dies.
Right.
So.
And that is the problem. So what have we said? So they said basically that they hadn't moved against these claims the last time.
Correct.
This is like a second bite at the apple.
Right.
And they're trying to get rid of the whole thing now.
Right.
And we've responded. What did we say?
So our response, again, so if you look at these two categories, on the warrant and probable cause, we've essentially argued that there are – the only time that Supreme Court has affirmed these warrantless searches, for example, in the context of federal employees, that there was – is in one of two categories. Just one category, but with two conditions to be met. Number one, it has to be generally sort of reasonable, and an entity that's seeking the search has special needs. So, for example, if you're DEA and you have agents dealing with drugs and seizing drugs, you kind of want to know that those agents are also not using drugs.
Right.
So that's the special need. But that's – and that's kind of what the government has been saying. Oh, we have special need. We need judges who are sharp, et cetera. But Supreme Court has consistently said that's not enough. Special need is only one prong. The second prong is that it's impracticable to obtain a warrant. And there's usual judicial review on the back end. So either it's impracticable or there's judicial review on the back end. Now, in this case, of course, it's practicable. They could have just gone to Judge Cooper themselves and asked for a search warrant. And because Judge Cooper has ruled that there's no jurisdiction for as applied challenges, there's no review on the front end for a warrant or a back end. And so that kind of makes that – that's the argument that we've made. On the on the vagueness and the kind of how all of this is just in the eye of the beholder, we pointed out that, number one, kind of the allegations against Judge Newman keep morphing. They keep bringing up new facts, withdrawing some other facts. Facts in air quotes, because
right.
They're not really facts. They're just random sort of allegations. But even more importantly, I think, as you said, John, there is nothing – they said, like, look, if the doctor so-and-so says you're okay, you're going to go on the bench. And in fact, Judge Cooper in his prior order pointed this out, that the federal circuit has consistently said this test will just aid us in our own determination without actually saying what it is. And apparently the big allegation is Judge Newman is slow. But you can be slow and not disabled. For example, you can be slow and lazy. You can be slow because you're dissenting, so you're waiting for majority opinions, which is what Judge Newman is doing. They're not tied together.
Right. And so we'll see. We'll see what Judge Cooper does. I hopefully will have another hearing on this. But what happens if it goes forward? What happens next?
Well, if Judge Cooper doesn't dismiss, well, let me give the easy answer. What happens if he does dismiss? We're going to go to D.C. Circuit, and I think we're going to do it in a fairly short order.
Right.
If he doesn't, then I suspect we're going to – next argument is going to be, do we get any sort of discovery before we move to summary judgment or not? We've been told by the government that they will fight discovery tooth and nail.
I know.
That's been – they've been very open about it. So we may not be able to get it because, after all, what's left are facial challenges. So kind of the facts may not matter all that much, although I think discovery helps illustrate – how arbitrary this process is.
Well, yeah, I can certainly see questions about, well, what are your standards?
Right.
We say that there are no standards that makes it arbitrary and capricious. It makes it a proceeding that's not lawful.
And vague.
I suppose we could get discovery on whether or not that's true. And they said, oh, it's a facial challenge. Well, facially, it sure looks like that.
Right.
But do you have anything? I don't want to go to summary judgment and then suddenly you pop up with information that's not facial, right?
So if it goes forward, I think Judge Cooper might, for example, convert it all to summary judgment anyways.
Yeah.
So I think before this has a short half-life before Judge Cooper one way or the other. That's my guess. And I think so. D.C. Circuit is going to be the next stop, again, one way or the other, because I suspect if Judge Cooper rules for us, I don't think the Federal Circuit will take that line down.
But I also want to bring up something that I think our listeners – I don't think we've brought it up. What else are they doing to Judge Newman, which I think is so petty I can't even tell you. But go ahead.
No, Judge Newman now no longer has a judicial assistant or essential secretary. And they've barred her from hiring one. Judge Newman now has no law clerk except her one career law clerk. And even that one is because they can't fire her because she's a career employee. Judge Newman has been removed from the court listserv, so she doesn't get all of the – she doesn't even know what's going on in her own court. And some petty things. So you recently celebrated – perhaps a piece of good news, I suppose. Judge Newman recently celebrated her 40th year on the bench. In February, and we had a lovely reception in her chambers, and she was, as you said, as spry and kind of as sharp as ever, and it was just lovely to see her in good spirits. My understanding is, and maybe I don't know everything, but my understanding is that none of her colleagues even bothered to drop her a note saying, hey, 40 years is kind of a big deal in any job, much less in the – so it's just this sort of pettiness in what is supposed to be a collegial court.
Right. Well, and I always think about this. If she was really disabled, right? If she had a stroke, they would, of course, send a letter or whatever. This is a personality fight, in my view, that has come in because there is no other disability that I can think of that a judge – you know what happens in courthouses when some judge gets a heart attack or something like this. You could have the worst enemy in the world. and they always are very compassionate about that. So that is really this isn't a disability thing. This is a personality thing. I'm just convinced.
I mean, and I know. So I clerked before for Judge Emery Widener, the late Judge Emery Widener of the Fourth Circuit, and unfortunately, I was his last clerk because his last year on the bench, he was diagnosed with cancer, and he was in some sense disabled. He couldn't get his work done as fast because he was doing chemo. And his colleagues didn't try to remove from the bench. They tried to pick up the slack and do the extra work. So that's how collegial court works.
Exactly. Well, anyways, because we did just file this opposition, and I suppose, the government will
reply in about a week. So a week from tomorrow.
Yeah. And then it'll be before the court. And I suspect that Judge Cooper's been very careful about this whole case. There's no there. He's treating it with the gravity that it deserves, is what I should say. He'll probably have oral argument again.
I agree, right? Although I suppose I disagree with some of his rulings.
Of course. So. Well, we can't have everything.
Right. but we're getting a neutral arbiter.
That is exactly right. So, Greg, any last thoughts?
I'm just going to say what I've been saying to the press. We'll continue fighting for Judge Newman and for judicial independence.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.